All right, let's get into the Friday footy preview. Brent Harvey about to join us. Where is he? Is he there? Oh, we've got him online. Boomer, good morning.
I'm here. Sorry, boys. How
Sorry,
are you?
Sorry, mate. Nice to have you on board.
I was waiting for my music to pop up and to give a bit of an intro. And it was just
So was I. But Joey Bugger.
Soft good morning, but yeah, I'm here. How are
Joey
you,
Joey Bugger back at the studio, mate. Not your fault. Not your fault. Bloody Joey. He's got one job. One job. Just to get your music ready. How's your week been? Because from what I can see, you've woken up and you're in your house, so you're not in Hubville. What's going on?
Correct. No, I'm not in Hubville. Probably the reason is I'm a part-time. I was going to say part-time student there, but I'm a part-time coach. Only working 3 days a week, so to go away and work 7 days a week for maybe 6 weeks probably wasn't feasible for the football club. Probably didn't have enough money to pay me, to tell you the truth, Daniel. I would have liked to be up in sunny Queensland, because it's freezing again in Melbourne, but not to be. So I'll just take a short period of time off, spend some time with my kids, and unfortunately homeschool them again, and go from there and wait for the boys to get back. And as soon as they get back, launch back into to my part of my job.
What's happened to the Kangas, Boomer?
Well, I'd love to be able to tell you, Whitey, but I'm not 100% sure. Last week, I thought they were really flat, and you can't... I mean, people say, oh, yeah, they found out the news that they're going to the hub, but you know what? So did the Western Bulldogs, so did every other Melbourne team, so we're certainly not using that as an excuse. We had some good players, but we just haven't had... I think when North Melbourne play well, 17 or 18 of them will play really well, and it's a collective. Unfortunately, last week we had four or five players play well, and the rest were passengers last week. And yeah, we can't do that. Not too many teams in the competition can do that. But at the minute, we're so young and raw still. We certainly can't do that.
Are you worried about Ben Cunnington and where he's at with his back?
Am I worried? I'm not worried. Ben's a very, very good player, and he's very professional. He'll get away now and work out what needs to be done for him to play some good footy. Should have he played last week? In hindsight, no. But I sat with him the first 2 weeks in a box watching the football, and regardless of how he felt, he was probably going to play, because he felt that he was wasted sitting in there. But as we've seen last week, he wasn't in great shape to be able to move. But he actually trained during the week and thought he was okay. And then all of a sudden, straight away, the back sort of gave way, and he wasn't much chop for us in the end, was he?
No, he wasn't much good, unfortunately, for the Kangas. And we'll see how they rebound this week. How much does that sort of sting, Boomer, when one of your guns comes in and you haven't been playing well, and you sort of need them to really impact the game, and they're not quite right, and you can see it early, and you know that you're not going to get the most out of them? How much does that hurt the psyche of the group, do you reckon?
So I think losing a player in general, regardless of who it is, with rotations, especially an on-baller, hurts the group straight away. But you're probably talking more about the mental side of it. There's no doubt, we look at Ben Cunnington, he's certainly our best three players, if not he's the best player at the Kangaroos, and certainly in the most important bracket. He's when that goes off, the other on-ballers no doubt would look at it and think, gee, we've got our work cut out today. And then he went forward and he still couldn't move too well. And in the end, he just sat on the bench for the rest of the game. So there's no doubt that they would have looked at that and thought that they needed to lift. And in the end, they didn't lift anyway. So they'll bounce back. They'll have 22 fit people this week, whoever takes the field. There's never any excuses, Half. You know that, mate. If Ben Cunnington runs out, you say he's fit and he's ready to go. That was a decision that everybody made, and he played, and in the end, it didn't work out for him. For us,
that is true. But, yes, us. Jump on board. Jump on board. Don't jump off just yet, Boomer. Now, last week there was a tightening of the interpretation of the holding the ball. And
I'm glad you noticed this last night, Half.
And the like. That was seemed to be the flavour of the week for last week. Last night, I couldn't help but think, and I'd love to get your opinion on this, that there seemed to be a very, very high spike in the number of not 15 kicking distance adjudications made by the umpires. Was I the only one to notice that last night?
No, definitely. I'm with you there.
Yep.
Oh, I'm with you. I think that there's a lot of footballers out there right now that say they don't watch Thursday night football or don't watch Friday night football. will tune in because they do everything on that first game. It's the first one. Whatever the umpires are going to do for that weekend, they do it on the first game of football, and that's Thursday night football. And 100% agree. I'm not sure about having Razor Ray mic'd up because, gee, he talks a lot and probably don't need that out in the field. But you got a great interpretation of absolutely that half. The kicks weren't going far enough, and I was just calling play on to make the game be a little bit faster and not congested enough.
I really, really liked it, Whitey. I thought last night, for the first time in a long, long time, those little 5, 8, 10-metre kicks were just all called play on, and it did. I felt it made the game flow because there's a lot of times where, that they took the mark and it was a play on. They had to just go quickly. They had no choice, obviously. They had to just go quickly, and the ball was it was constantly moving.
I think it's a great rule, but the problem is it's almost impossible to administer. So if you were to take it out to 20 or to 25 metres, that's a very hard rule for the umpires to officiate. It's much easier when it's 15 or whether it's, you know, as soon as you get to 20 to 25 metres, to try and work out what is 20 or 25 metres is very difficult. So that's the hardest part about if you were to extend it from 15 further out. But there was certainly last night, certainly last night, there was no doubt that it was a crackdown.
That's what they would train, though. They would train 15-metre kicks at training at the minute, the umpires, I'm sure. To say, yep, that's far enough. They would just change that to 20, wouldn't they, and make it quite easy for themselves.
It's hard to, but one of my points is it's hard to estimate what 20 metres is, whether it's 18, whether it's 22, compared to,
say, 13. But it's the same with 15. Is it 13? Is it 12? Is it 16?
Like,
it's the same thing that just applies to a different number. But my thing with it is you're better off erring on the side of it being too short, a 15-metre kick. Play if you're not quite sure, call it play on. And there was a bit of an overreaction last night because sometimes as it left the boot, the umpire called not 15, which was interesting.
At least they called it early enough that the players knew before the ball was taken in the hands that he knew he was going to have to get rid of it. You know what I mean? Like they're making the call early.
Yeah, I just think whether you actually officially make it 20 metres or not, but that's what should be almost your guide as opposed to the 15, which becomes 10. Let's make it the 20, which becomes 15, and we get back to where we probably should be with that ruling.
Oh, what I've always wondered is it, so the player takes a mark, goes back off his mark, so is it the distance from where he kicks it, or is it the distance from the mark?
From where you kick it.
From where he kicks it, yep.
Yeah. The ball needs to travel the distance, not from the mark, but from the foot.
Yeah. Yes, okay.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the Friday night footy. We'll see what happens with that rule tonight. It's up at Giants Stadium, Collingwood taking on Hawthorn, and there's some interesting selection news coming through. Both teams have announced two debutants will be playing, so we've got four first-timers in the game tonight. Atu Bosanavalagi is one of them. Isaac Quaino is much easier to say, and Will Kelly come in. Will Kelly, the other debutant with Bosanavalagi. And Jordan Ngoe goes out, of course. Josh Dacos is out injured, and Tyler Brown's been omitted, which is an interesting call. For the Hawks, Harry Morrison, Jonathan Patton, Josh Morrison, Will Day come in on debut, those last two names. Harry Jones goes out, Jack Scrimshaw's injured, Mitchell Lewis is injured, and Sean Burgoyne's being rested with the threat of six games in the next 5 weeks or 4 weeks coming up from what we're led to believe. Boomer, debutants. In fact, no, Rammer, for you first. You know Craig Kelly really well. Will Kelly is obviously his boy, brother of Jake Adelaide, of course. So tell us more about him and maybe even Bosanavalagi.
Well, firstly, with Will, he's a big unit. He's, 195, huge motor, looks big and strong now. He was injured last year, so didn't get his opportunity, obviously. But now it's unbelievable because Ned, his dad, and Jake... Well, Ned particularly. Ned wasn't a great kick. Jake's a pretty good kick. Will is an unbelievable kick. He can kick the ball 60 metres on the run, no worries, for a kid of 195. So he's probably most comfortable at the moment playing centre-half back, but the Pies have used him as a forward this season, and he's really excelled there. So I'm really excited for Will and for the family, obviously. So big things there now with Artu. They call him R2-D2, so the Pies there. So... look, a terrific story, I think, more than anything. But the important thing for Pies fans is this kid can play. He's got some serious wheels. He's tough. He's hard at the ball. His underage football for the Oakley Chargers was really good. So obviously with Quainer and now Artu, those guys can really seriously play. So the Pies have got a couple of really good ones there. Looking forward to this one. The Hawks, Whitey, have had the wood over the Pies for a long time. Alistair Clarkson seems to be able to coach unbelievably well against the Pies. I'm concerned still with the Pies outs. You know, how side bottom, that was noticeable last week against Essendon, and now DeGoey within their forward line. So it's a tricky one for the Pies tonight, Whitey.
Yeah, I find this really hard. I mean, Hawthorn have won four of the last five against Collingwood. You look at side bottom DeGoey and how out for the Magpies up against, say, only Burgoyne for Hawthorn. There's a lot of pointers to the Hawks in this one, but there's also experience tells me that Collingwood do respond when they're a team or a club under fire, and I reckon they are going into this one. And with Grundy in the ruck, I think he still holds the key to this match, I reckon, against Segler. So I'm leaning towards Collingwood, but gee, no confidence at all.
Boomer, both teams disappointing last week. The Pies against the Bombers and the Hawks against the Giants. What do you make of this?
Yeah, I agree with Whitey. I think when Collingwood have got their backs against the wall, they end up being a better team, and something will certainly happen from their point of view. But the Hawks were disappointing last week, like you mentioned, Huff. Last week, I was a little bit concerned about just they had more inside 50s than Essendon and Collingwood, and they just couldn't mark the ball inside 50. I know Cox couldn't get his hands on the footballer at all, and they played him really well. But Majacek didn't look like a marking type of player, and if they haven't got those big guys up forward, I know Hawthorn Patton's back into the team, so that's going to, you know, add a tall forward. But I just struggled to see where the goals are going to come from for the Hawks. Gunson's a very good player. They had to swing McAvoy forward last week. He ended up kicking two goals. But I'm not sure if the Hawks can kick a big enough score if they take Patton out. So that's going to be the way it works for me. If Darcy Moore can get the job done, probably on Patton, the Pies will win. If Patton can kick a bag and Gunson can get a couple, they might be able to do so.
I should also mention that Luke Bruce is out for Hawthorn, and I still think he's one of Hawthorn's more important players. And just you talking, Boomer, about Hawthorn kicking a big enough score, you know, there is that reliance, I think, without Burgoyne and Bruce in their forward line, that creativity, that's probably sort of four or five goals that are taken out of their team.
And that's probably why I said if the tall forward doesn't get on the end of it, they might not be able to kick, because I think Bruce hurt his jaw against the Kangas a couple of weeks ago, and they didn't look like scoring freely last week.
All right, let's get to a break. 20 past 8 on the Friday Footy Preview. Brent Harvey with us, the AFL Games record holder, the champ from the Kangas. Tim on Twitter, hi guys, enjoying the show. Make the kick 15 metres from the man on the mark. That will open things up more. Sort of along your lines there, Rammer. So a bit of support with you from Tim. We'll come back. The Friday face-off, if you haven't registered, straight to the website, rsn.net.au. Be a winner every week. We had a draw last week between Rammer and I, and we'll hopefully try and win one this week. Someone will win one this week. That would be nice. That would be nice rather than a draw. They're a disaster for the Friday face-off in isolation mode. Back with more shortly.
Half Whitey Rammer. This is RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
It is. It's nice to have you company on a Friday morning. Do we get our tips for Collingwood Hawthorn, boys? Why do you tip Collingwood?
Yep.
Rammer?
Yeah, the Pies also for me.
Boomer?
Yes, I'm with the boys, Collingwood.
Well, you're all losers then. I'm going for the Hawks. They'll win that. They'll rebound. Clarko's not copping that garbage. 4 from 5. It's a blueprint set in stone, the formula to beat Collingwood. They know how to do it. They know how to do it. Hey, let's have a look at Melbourne and the Gold Coast Suns. Interesting game, this one, because we know the Gold Coast went down to GMHBA Stadium last week, and they're at Giant Stadium this week to take on the Ds. Didn't have it all their way, but they put up a good fight. Matty Rao going down early, and we know the challenges that Melbourne are facing, Boomer. What do Melbourne need to do to beat the Gold Coast Suns?
Well, I think we talk about not kicking enough goals. Well, I think Melbourne are getting the ball inside 50, or it's that last kick inside 50. I think they've struggled with it for a couple of years now, and it's that last kick inside 50, which I think, and I know people always say,
or kicking the goal is the most important kick, but that's that kick inside 50 to give that opportunity to kick that goal is absolutely massive, and I think that's the most important kick in football. So if they can't do that well, they're really going to struggle. They find enough of the football. Are they potent in possession to get the ball in good spots? I'm not 100% sure about that, but they just need to do some work on there, and I don't think McDonald up forward is certainly the answer for the Demons, but at the minute, it's the only thing they can go to. Great to see Petrarca hit some really good form. I think this is going to be a really good game. Melbourne are going okay if they can finish their work, and I'm liking what Stewie Jew's doing with the Gold Coast Suns. Isn't it funny that we're going to say a fifth gamer, Matt Rowell's a massive out for them, yeah. And he certainly is. But a young fella makes his debut this week. I think Isaac Rankin has been named.
Yeah, he does,
Really, really exciting. I'm wrapped for him because it's been a long road in terms of actually getting to this position. But I was fortunate enough to work with him and that group going through the States a couple of years ago on that junket that you keep talking about, Daniel. it was absolutely fantastic. And to say that this kid has got some talent would be an absolutely understatement. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can produce tonight.
Who wins?
Over the weekend.
Over the weekend, settle down. Yep.
Yeah.
Who wins?
I think the Gold Coast Suns will continue. I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do on the road and away from Metricon. So I'm going to stick with the Gold Coast Suns.
Rama, who wins?
Well, this is a tricky one, this game. There's no doubt. I thought the Suns were pretty good last week against the Cats down at Cadinia Park there. Melbourne have been really, really disappointing, obviously, with their game style. But look, they've got good players. There's no doubt about that. But those good players now need to start to connect a lot better on the field. No doubt off the field they connect, but on the field they've just got to be better. So I'm going to select the Demons.
Hey, Whitey, who wins?
I've been consistent all week that there's been an overreaction of sorts to Melbourne because they've been playing high-quality opposition. This is their chance, and I think they'll beat the Suns.
Gold Coast for me in that one. Essendon and North Melbourne, Whitey, I'll throw this one to you. Bombers very good last week. The Kangas are in trouble. Can they beat the Bombers, the Kangas?
No, I don't think they can. I think Essendon's midfield's going to be too strong for North Melbourne. I really like the way Essendon played last week. The trick for Essendon is to do it on a consistent basis. I understand that. But I think the Bombers, if they were to bring that same level against they showed against Collingwood, it'll be too good for North Melbourne. I'm worried about North Melbourne in the midfield. And I think that's where Essendon's quite strong. So I think that's where the game's going to be won.
But a question for Boomer. Higgins is named Boomer. Is he playing?
Well, if he's named, it looks like he's playing, doesn't it? That's what happens.
is this the old Essendon North Melbourne sort of mind games, is it?
Mate, I'm down in Melbourne. They're up in sunny Queensland on a hub. I've got no idea what's going on at the minute.
Of course.
You're getting nothing
of
out of me, Adam. You know that.
Who wins, Rammer?
The Bombers.
Boomer's going for the Kangas. I'm going for the Bombers as well on that one. Another little focus game, Carlton and the Bulldogs, Sunday night at Metricon as well. Another doubleheader. Four games at Metricon this week. It's a very busy stadium. The grass is going to be chopped that wide to be upset. The Blues, Rammer, they've sort of been a hit and miss a little bit. There's not a lot of chemistry. Talk about Melbourne's chemistry. They're losing their chemistry too in that forward half and getting beaten down back one-on-one. What do they do against the Bulldogs who are rampaging?
They are rampaging the Bulldogs, and they're looking like the team that we all thought they can be. The Blues, on the other hand, the inconsistencies worry me a little bit because when you're inconsistent, you're only relying on a particular couple of players. And when Carlton are starting to play poorly within games, it just goes back to the old guys, Cripps will get us out of it, or Cade Simpson will get us out of it. And that's where the concern lies for me. It's not those younger players that we want to see continually step up and be good players. Carlton's forward line, they're either hot or they're cold. And that's where the concern. I hope they're hot on the weekend, but I can't select them. It's got to be the Bulldogs.
Anyone tipping the Blues in this one?
Bulldogs specials.
Yep, absolutely. Certainly this week. And my certainty of the week, the Bulldogs.
Bulldogs for me is a well in that one. Let's go through the other games before we get to the face-off. For us, Freo and St Kilda. Whitey?
I'm going with Fremantle in this one. I think they're building quite nicely. And it'll be interesting this game. I'm really looking forward to it.
Rama?
Um, Freo.
Hurry up.
Freo, Boomer.
No, I think the Saints will win this one. Surely Fife doesn't play after a 12-day hamstring or whatever it was. So I don't see him playing. Without him, they're a different team. So I'm going with the Saints.
I'm with you. Saints for me in that one. The Eagles and the Crows. Anyone tipping the Crows?
No, we're not stupid enough.
Right, okay. Good news, everyone.
I wouldn't tip the Crows against North Heidelberg at the minute, Daniel.
Power and the Giants. Sunday, boys. Who wins? Boomer?
I think Power. I'm liking what I'm seeing. I know they didn't play super well last week, but Power win for me.
Bremer?
Giants have turned the corner.
Adam
White? I'm going with the Giants. They might have turned the corner. This is when we'll find out whether they have.
I reckon they have. They were awesome last couple of weeks, and they'll win this one too. And the last game is Richmond and Sydney. Bremer?
Oh... There's so many outs for the Tigers.
Yeah, well, that's right. There's seven Tigers.
I think I'm going to select Sydney in this one.
Whitey?
No idea, but I'm going with the Richmond VFL team to beat Sydney.
Boomer?
Where's it at? The Gabba, isn't it? The Gabba.
At the Gabba, yeah.
Yeah, very interesting. I'm not 100% sure. I don't think Sydney's travelling super well, and the Tigers, well, seven changes. That might just be a little bit too much for me. I'm going to go with the Swans.
Trust the Tigers for me. Trust the Tigers. They'll get the job done there. Righto. Let's get the Friday face-off. You can trust them.
Face-off for Ribera's in Port Melbourne for simply sensational seafood dining. Tomorrow's menu is still swimming.
You betcha it is. The Friday Face-Off winner gets a $100 voucher from Ribera's at Swallows. Offer simply the best and freshest seafood available. 192 Station Street in Port Melbourne. Rama, we tied last week. You get to choose the category for Friday Night Footy. What are we playing?
Kentuckys.
Kentuckys. Oh, love it. We haven't had Kentuckys for all year, I reckon. Maybe the first one. Kentuckys tonight, boys. Boomer, you get to go first.
Oh, can I
who are you playing for?
Second?
No, you're playing
you
for Raymond
second.
Reynolds.
He can go second. I'll go first. I'm happy to go first.
No, he's going first. Raymond Reynolds from Glen Wave. Who are you playing for, Boomer? Raymond Reynolds.
Contested possessions. I am going to go for Tom Mitchell.
And you really upset him. You really upset him.
Yes. Ian Benbow is who I am playing for from Endeavour Hills, and we'll go Scott Pendlebury.
Scott Pendlebury for most contested possessions between Collingwood and the Hawks. So, is it me or you? Remy, you go.
No, you go, mate. I'm leading. I'm top of the ladder, so you go.
All right. I'll go, and that will be contested possessions. Let's go Adam Treloar. Adam Treloar for contested possessions. See how he goes tonight.
I thought you were going to leave that one at the table for me. contested possessions, I will go with Brody Grundy.
Oh, good choice.
Oh, good choice.
I've forgotten him. That's why you're the best in the business, Rama. That's why you're the best. Boomer, great to see you, mate. Look forward to chatting to you next Friday.
Yeah, can't wait, boys. Have a good weekend of football.
We will do. Good luck to your Kangas this weekend. They might just need it. Rama, we'll chat to you next Monday as well.
Looking forward to it, guys.
Have a great